Welcome back to That's Cricket, and this is your Boxing Day Test post-game recap brought to you by Runmaker. What a test. Another two-day test we have. It's all done quick. 3 days, millions of dollars, Australia, Cricket Australia and the MCG are going to lose for this test being over so fast. Can you believe it? So much to unpack here in this review. We've got to go back to the start. Australia lose the toss. They get sent into bat. England, a great toss to win. They send Australia into bat. The pitch was a joke, absolute joke. There was 10 mil of grass on this pitch. The pitch was doing so much. I can't believe they allowed that much grass to be on the pitch. It did so much. We lost 20 wickets day one. We lose 16 wickets day two. It's 26 wickets total. Maybe even be more. If we refresh, it's going to be more than that. I'll make sure that's the correct number. Yes, it is 26. We lose 26 wickets in a day. 26 wickets in 2 days. Absolute insanity. And England win by 4 wickets. It's a moral victory for England winning here at the Boxing Day Test. They'd already technically lost the Ashes. Ashes have been retained by Australia. They win the first three. Finally, we see some fight from England. Or is it more of, do we see the cracks in the Australian batting lineup? The Australian batting lineup maybe isn't as good as what it had been portrayed to be. Last year, over the summer against India, I was very critical of the Indian batting, of the Australian batting lineup. They didn't score a lot of runs on the decks that were moving, on the decks that were spicy. And another example of this, Australia, Michael Nisa top scored for them with 35 in that first innings. Coming into the second innings, we got Travis Head, almost pulled him out. He had a 46. He is the top scorer for them this year. And he's kind of been saving them. The rest of the batters, not so much. Not so much. I want to go through some of the batting stats here to just kind of put to how bad the batting lineup is. They ran a stat during the broadcast. He has Travis Head, Alex Carey, your top two batting performances in this series so far. Then it was Crawley, Root, and Brook in at the 3, 4, and 5 spot, which really shows the rest of Australia hasn't stood up and scored the runs. Looking at Travis Head in Perth, 21, 123, a brilliant performance. If it wasn't for that 1-2-3, that was the last two-day test that we had. If he gets out early, Australia could be in big trouble. Coming into the second test in Brisbane, he gets a 33 and a 22. Coming into the third test, 10 and 170, a brilliant 170 knock. In this test, a 12 and a 46. That 46 would be the top score in that second innings. Jake Weatherall, the man they brought into this series as the opener, he started off his campaign with a duck and 23. Then he went 72 and 17, not out. Then he went 18 and 1, 10 and 5. So he isn't doing very well in that spot. He had Head as his opening partner. That wasn't meant to be how it was supposed to go. He was meant to have Khawaja. Khawaja gets injured. And then he comes back. It's put down the order, but not performing. He has that. He does have that 150 at Brisbane. It's probably going to hold him in the squad coming into the SCG test. Manus Lavishane, Perth, 9 and 51 not out. That he was there at the end with Travis Head. So that 51 not out is kind of skewed a little bit. But he was batting very well. Comes back. Brisbane, 65 and a 3, 19 and a 13 at Adelaide, 6 and an 8 this test. 6 and an 8. Not very good. He needed to stand up and win Australia. He needed him today and yesterday. It's crazy to say that he needed to bat both days, but didn't stand up. He had come off such good form. He had terrible form last year, bought a Gavaskar Trophy, Summer of Cricket. He went away, worked in his game. He got four or five hundreds. Coming back into the side, having that 50 and the 65, the first two tests, you think that he's in, hasn't performed the last two tests. They're not going to drop him, but on the chopping block and kind of didn't find the form. Is it the pitches? Probably. Probably has a lot to do with the pitches. Looking at Steve Smith, 17 and 2 in the first test. Brisbane, 61 and 23, not out. Missed last test through to illness. And then 9 and 24, not out. He was left at the crease. He could have put up a lot more runs on the board if someone had stayed with him 24 and out. What could have been? He could have got an extra, even he should have put 50 on. If Australia had an extra 30 runs, that would have really been something special coming down to the wire. It was already close coming down to the wire. They lost Root. They lost Stokes down to the wire. But yes, Steve Smith, he's not going to be in trouble. Usman Khawaja, he's obviously going to come up into his final test at the SCG. He comes off a 2 in the first test at Perth, then didn't bat in the second innings. 82 in Adelaide and a 40, 29, and then he gets a duck. He walks off the MCG with a duck. Probably will be the last time we see him at the MCG, unless he plays a big bash game. But in Test match cricket, last time he's in whites at the MCG, walks off the field with a duck. You would think they would keep him in the SCG test just because it's going to be his last test. Alex Carey getting the runs for Australia. He comes off a 26 in Perth, 63 in Brisbane, 106 and 72 in Adelaide, 20 and 4 yesterday and today. Wasn't his best day at the bat, but you can't expect him to carry the bat for Australia. He has been carrying the bat well for Australia, has been filling in those late order runs. Can't expect him to do it every time. Cam Green, really the man on the chopping block here for Australia. And Perth, only 24 runs in Brisbane, 45 in Adelaide, a duck and 7, and then Melbourne, 17 and 19. People, look in the chat. If you look at any chat, any post I put out, any chat for the Cam Green is in, people are like, why is he worth the money? Why is he there? Where's the form? He didn't bowl much. He did pick up the last wicket yesterday, but I don't know. They love him. That he's supposed to be the person coming in to replace Smith when he eventually does retire. Currently in the squad, filling a spot. He got moved, pushed down to 7 in the batting order. Alex Carey kept the promotion. They had Usman Khawaja come in at 5. Carey come in at 6. Even Cam Green down at 7 didn't do much. Is it too far down the order for him, not having enough batters to bat with him? I don't know, but he isn't doing very well. You think of Neeser. Neeser bowled very well. Neeser took a 4-for in the first innings, and he also top scored for Australia in that first innings. He got 35, and then he got a duck. So he was just a replacement for Cummins, probably keeps his spot moving into the SCG. Starkey, man of the series. Today he didn't do very well with a bat. He got a 1 yesterday and a 0 today. 2 wickets in both innings. Jai Richardson kind of underperformed what we thought that he would be able to do coming into there. Everyone was very excited. 0-7 with the bat. No wickets in the first innings, 2-for-22 in the second innings, 2 for 22. If you know, you know. Scotty Bowen, Build a Man a Statue, was opening the batting in that second innings. He got cheered when he walked onto the field at the end of day one, going to open the bat with Travis Head. He got 6, which is actually more than in the second innings than Weatherald. Takes 3-for-30 and 2-for-29. But into today's play, I mean, that's how it looks for Australia. It's a similar scenario what it was in the Border Gavaskar Trophy. Their batting wasn't there. And England's batting also wasn't really there. I mean, if you look at the England batting lineup, first innings, Crawley 5, Duckett 2, Bethel 1, Root duck. Like, now you've got, 8 runs from your top 4 batters? Like, that's kind of a joke. Harry Brooke got 41 off 31. Stokes, 16 off 38. Jamie Smith, 2 from 3. Will Jacks, 5 from 10. Gus Atkinson gets second top score in that first innings for England with 28. Carson Tung, 4 and 1, respectively, from there. I mean, the getting rolled for 110 is also atrocious. And it wasn't even that Bazball-esque, honestly. It was really just Australia bowled very well. And the deck is just doing a lot. Like, the balls were just moving. They were constantly showing the Fox tracker or whatever it was where they show the ball deviating off its path, England playing the path, the ball just moving away. And we had the same thing with the SCG. They put 8 mils of grass in the SCG test last year. Absolute joke. Dumb. It was all done in 3 days. It's just not good for cricket having so much grass on the field, on the pitch. Moving into the second innings for England, They had a lot better. They had a lot better chase. There was an opportunity for them to throw it away, but They came out today and they bowled Australia out. Boland, first to go. He goes for 6 off 17. Court Smith bowled Atkinson. Then you had Jake Weatherold. He would get out bowled Stokes. Again, it's just not looking good there. Weatherold's, falling over his stumps. He has been falling over his stumps to the LB, to the court down leg side. This time just leaves the ball. Just leaves the ball, takes some of off. He has to go. Lavisham did not look comfortable. He got caught at slip nicking off again. Very common way that Lavisham gets out. Travis Head almost got himself out. It was a little bit of deja vu. Almost got himself out, chopped on. It was a deja vu moment from the first innings. But Travis Head would get out, bowled Kaas. Usman Khawaja, he didn't last long. He lasted two balls. He would get out hooking down leg side. Just they put one up under his rib cage, and he just turned it around the corner, put it straight down Ollie Pope, who was substitute filling his throat on the boundary. Alex Carey, he nicked off a bowl cast. He got caught by Brooke in at second slip. Then Cam Green, he gets out, caught Brooke also is slashing at one. Nisa would get out, caught and bowled to Kaas. Stark would get out, caught Root, bowled Kaas, and Jai Richardson would get out from the bowling of Stokes, caught by Zach Crawley. They ended up rolling Australia for 132. Can you believe that? Kaas ends up with 4 wickets in the second dig. Got to give a shout-out to Josh Tung. He gets his 5 wickets in the first innings, but 3 for Stokes, 2 for Tung in the second innings, 1 for Atkinson. It leaves England the chase. England had to chase, what are they? They were chasing 100 and so. They had 190-odd to chase down. And it wasn't an easy road. It wasn't an easy road. They had a nice start, a nice positive start. They were swinging. They came out in the second innings, England, full baseball, like full send, full baseball send they had going here. They were swinging at everything. First to go was Ben Duckett. He got bowled by Stark, an absolute beautiful Yorker, just straight through the gate. Sandshrew crusher, absolute beautiful ball. They brought Kaas out as the number 3 spot for some reason, just to swing at it. I guess an extra batter, a free hit, kind of swinging at it. He would hit one down to Green in the deep. He would have to go for 6. Zach Crawley and Jacob Bethel put on a really good partnership. They do it. We gave Bethel a lot of stick, a lot of flack during the week. I think that he throws it away. They traditionally have thrown away wins. I spoke about they threw it away. Joe Root threw it away in the Champions Trophy. They threw it away against the 5th test against India. They threw it away in the 1st test, threw it away in the 3rd test against Australia. Today, they actually held their nerve and they got it done. Zach Crawley, we ended up getting bowled. LBW, a really good seed by Scotty Boland. Jacob Bethel would then get out, just slashing at one straight to Usman Khawaja in the covers. A very hefty drive. Back foot, late cut, front foot, like cut drive through to the covers. Khawaja takes that one, a nice sharp catch. Then Stokes would get out to Stark again. I guess it wasn't bowled this time, but it did kind of come down to the wire. Eventually, Harry Brook, Jamie Smith would get it done. Their winning runs would end up being a leg by. Richardson bowled 4 no balls, which is pretty up there. He bowled 2 and 1 over. That was pretty bad. And then they split the wickets: 2 wickets for Stark, 2 for Richardson, 2 for Boland, none for Nisa in that final second innings. But England get that moral victory. Looking at the selections, we had to bring in Nisa for Cummins. It's fine. That's totally fine. There's no cause for alarm there. You got to do. He was the guy to bring in. I was thinking you could have brought Webster in, but they reckon that Nisa is more of the frontline bowler. The way they move it around so much with changing the ball and changing the way they rotate their bowlers. I mean, they didn't really use Green at all in the second innings. They didn't use Green much in the first innings either. He only bowled. He didn't even get out of his first over. So I'm a fan of like splitting the bowling duties. If you weren't to go with Nisa, I mean, he did take 4. You got to pick him. But I'm in a reality where if you got to go 5 bowlers and split 2 of them, like 2 all-rounders, I'm okay with that. Mason probably keeps his spot and was a you know, it's worth it being in the squad. Is that replacement for Cummins? There was no spin. Spin was not used. They only went 2 days. So I guess that is, they picked good there, not picking Todd Murphy. They also left out Josh Inglis in for Kawager. It makes sense on paper. Didn't work out that way. If they'd picked Inglis, would have got some runs? Probably. It's the way the karma works. As for England, Bethel into the squad. Looks like he's worth his money. Gave him a lot of flack. They had a lot of criticism coming out of the Noosa trip, which we're going to get into. But he did better than Ollie Pope. So I guess he's going to stay. He got his 40 off 46. Didn't get many runs in the first innings. He's got that 1 off 5. That was basically all the changes that England had. They just had they changed around the bowlers. They brought, they went with Atkinson, Cast, Tongue, Stokes, attack. Jax didn't get used in the lineup as for the bowling. And, there was an injury. It was injury to, I believe Cast was injured. He didn't bowl. Was it Cast or Atkinson? Atkinson got the injury for England. He bowled what looked to be a slower ball, but that actually was him twinging his hammy. And so he will most likely be out and not at SCG. He didn't participate in the rest of the game. That's why Ollie Pope was out there on the field. Before I keep going, I got to give a shout out to Runmaker. Every series, the Ashes gives us moments we will never forget. Blistering spells, brave stands, and shots that will echo through history. But this year, you won't just watch the drama unfold, you can feel it. Train your reflexes with lifelike pace, refine your technique with real-time feedback, and take on sessions inspired by legends of the game out there in the middle. This Ashes, don't just be a spectator, own the moment. Runmaker VR is your very own indoor net facility from the comfort of your own home. With Runmaker, you can train how you want, whenever you want, putting your skills to the test in real-time net sessions. Work on the short ball, your cover drive, or even your ram shot with real-time feedback. You can also record your sessions and send them to your coach. Your journey to the pitch starts with Runmaker VR. Download Runmaker and save this Ashes with code RUNMAKERSUB-E6EFEA to get 50% off your first 6 month subscription when you sign up before January 31st. The Noosa trip was up. There's a big controversy with their trip in Noosa. They had the Ben Duckett clip came out this week, and it was very much like England has a big investigation on how they're looking after their players and what they're doing in these breaks. Technically, now when you look at it, the Noosa trip is going to work because they finally got a win. So maybe having their 4 or 5 days of the big break at the beach, playing the golf, heavy drinking, has relaxed them a little bit and it got them a chance to get a win here. So you think the two really people that were in question out of that Noosa trip were Bethel and Duckett. Duckett, clearly someone should have been with him when he was out on the streets. Someone filmed him. They gave it to Daily Mail. They posted it everywhere. Mate, he wasn't causing trouble. He just wanted to get home. Clearly, he had drunk a lot of alcohol, but he was trying to do the right thing, is trying to get himself back home. Someone from the England cricket team should have been with him, escorting him, making sure that he was safe out there. You never know. You know, even if it's Australia, you want to make sure that your people get home back to where they're supposed to go. Duckett did okay. He did okay in this. He did okay in the second innings. Again, it's just hard with the baseball stuff. It comes off, but sometimes it doesn't come off. And he gets done by an absolute jaffer by Stark. Bethel, giving him the YMCA. I was probably going to put some clips together of him coming out to the YMCA. He did okay for himself, getting the runs here in the second innings at 40 of 46. So yeah, I think the Noosa trip worked well for England, and they're probably going to have more party time. They're going to be partying. It's a 2-day test. They're going to have an extra 3 days to party. Good on them. They probably deserve it. Getting the win. They had chances to win test one and test three. So I think that needs to be more of them out there partying. And it's a big, I talk about this a lot, actually, when philosophy of winning games. And when it comes to high performance players, I think of Rodman from the basketballer. I watched a documentary, the Michael Jordan documentary, and they used to let Rodman and Pippen and Jordan were like the best three in basketball ever. And not that I know much about basketball, but after watching the documentary, they knew that they let Rodman off his leash. They would let him do whatever he wanted as long as he got to the game on time and he was there for the game, he would go to Vegas, he would go and party, he would be up all night, he would drink, he would smoke, he would do whatever. And they just allowed him to get to the game. As long as he got to the game on time, they were happy with him doing what he needed to do. And that's what sometimes people need. Sometimes people need, outside of the pitch, off the court, whatever sport they're in, they need to do whatever they need to do to get ready. Some people go out there and party, and then when they come the next day, they're switched on and ready to go. And it's that on-off switch that makes them be able to perform their best as an athlete. Sometimes when you dial in every day, routine, first to training, last to leave, you know, dieting this, doing that, you kind of get into this rhythm and this routine, which actually can stop your growth. And I talk a lot, I talked about it too with Jimmy on the last show that we did, that when I played cricket, I had never scored 100. I was a dedicated person. I would be first to the nets, last to leave, got a lot of training. I worked with Doug Walters, with Dean Jones, played a lot of cricket, traveled to Sri Lanka, traveled to Hong Kong, and I had never picked up 100. And I was just like that straight edge kind of cricketer. And I only scored my first 100 the night after I'd been out on the drink. I was up until 6 a.m., took a nap. My mom drove me to the cricket ground. I got there, wasn't dressed. Captain wasn't there. I did the toss. I opened the batting and I was like, we have three fielders down. We don't have three players. I'm going to go out and bat. Saw at the first ball, all the way through to the last ball, scored 100, and it was the absolutely not what I normally did. Normally, I was the first to get there, last to leave, you know, all that kind of stuff, the straight edge kind of player. And sometimes that's what happens. Sometimes you get a little loose, and it just changes. You just relax. You're more relaxed. You're not as stressed. So England, not going to be as stressed now coming into SCG. They're going to be coming for blood at the SCG. They're going to be looking for that 3-2, looking for that moral victory. And I think they could get it. If Australia, the SCG curators, the government needs to get involved. They have to make it an absolute road. I talk about this all the time. You have to build roads. I hate seeing all the grass on the pitch. It's as if they were playing on PGA rough. Like, I've seen PGA rough shorter than that. Like, I worked on golf courses for many years. There is just too much grass. There is no reason for that much grass. And they say, oh, it's because they need the grass on the wicket for the day three, day four, and day five. We didn't get to day three, four, and five. Way too much grass. Cut it down to 6 mil, cut it down to 5 mil, cut it down to no mil. Let's build absolute roads, tables, flat tops. I just want to see the cracks open up. You want to see it just flat and hard. You want them to bat. You want them to be put on 500 runs. That's what cricket used to be. You batted 500 runs, and now you don't bat 500 runs. They even said during the broadcast that their state cricket, their averages are down year over year over year because the curators are making these pitches too green, making it something. They want something in it for the bowlers. Something in it for the bowlers? What are you talking about? No one swings the ball the way they used to. The balls don't swing. They're not swinging the ball where they used to be. It's like now it's all wobble seam and nip off the seam. Like, what happened to like bowling for swing? Like actual true swing bowling. Like Jimmy Anderson would always swing the ball. It's just always swing the ball. Like some bowlers can't swing the ball both ways. Like Stark doesn't really swing the ball both ways. So he swings the ball in and then he pushes the ball away with a wobble seam or just guides the ball away. Then Boland's a guy that guy just nips off the seam, nips it off the seam. Like, develop the skill of swinging the ball. Build a flat road. Swing it around corners. The pitch, leave the pitch out of it. Flat road. We wanted to bat for very long times. Turning point in this game. Wow. The anthem. When they came out for the anthem, day one, that was a turning point. it just kind of went sideways, this test. It kind of went sideways, like, going 152 wasn't on the bingo card for Australia to get rolled, but that's what I've talked about a lot, that the cracks are there inside of their squad. If one domino falls, sometimes they all can fall. And Travis Head has been done enough when he needs to. He comes out and he gives you that innings when Australia needs it normally. When he doesn't, the tail is normally wagged and has normally got Australia to a point. So the secondary opener and then Lavisham, Smith, when they don't fire and Green don't fire, it's been okay because the tail wags and Head normally saves the day. But when there's no one stands up and no one saves the day, if Travis Head gets out, it could be one brings two, brings three, brings four, which what we saw. So I don't know. It's going to be changing the guard when Usman Khawaja leaves. They're going to figure out who's going to be the long-term replacement. Josh Inglis, Webster, Green. Don't know what they're going to do there. But the real turning point, obviously, was Tom got 5 wickets. I'm going to have that as the turning point. And with that being said, this segment is brought to you by Run Maker. Normally it is the Run Maker segment, but it's the Run Stopper today. Josh Tung was the Run Stopper. He took 5 wickets for 45 runs off his 11.2 overs with 2 maidens, an economy of 3.97. He did such a great job. It's unbelievable that he wasn't picked. Unbelievable on a few occasions. Unbelievable that he wasn't picked in the test 1 and 2. Unbelievable that he wasn't given the opening bowling duties. He could have opened the bowling. And also unbelievable that he wasn't given the ball for the final over of the day on day one. On the final over of day one, he had an opportunity to be on a hat trick for that ball. And Scotty Bowden was on strike. And it would have been the first time ever that a player had got a hat trick getting at the same person in back-to-back balls. That was the opportunity we had at the end of day one. I didn't realize that till after we did yesterday's stream, but that was the opportunity that we had. It wasn't taken. They didn't give the ball to Tung. They should have. He is a very, very good bowler. His action is very good. And looking at the Fox tracker and the radar they have for him, his arm speed's one of the fastest arm speeds in cricket going around, but he has almost zero wrist snap. It's the slowest wrist snap with the fastest arm speed. It's a really bizarre mechanic that he has. He bowls very front on, but he uses basically no wrist snap. And he's not the fastest, but it comes out really nice out of the hand. He is the player of the match. He gets man of the match for the game. He is our run maker or the run stopper. He gets 5 for 45 in that first innings and then 2 for 44 in the second innings, Josh Tung. Moving on to the next bit, legacy. What will this Ashes be remembered for? Another 2-day test, another green monster, another pitch doing too much. That's what it will be remembered for. Other things, Barmy Army getting up. They get to celebrate finally getting a win, a moral victory. It's kind of all wrapped into one. The Barmy Army finally get something. It was the most they did get the most people to that first day. Most people at a cricket match at the MCG ever since they've been recorded at the MCG. And then they had like another set they put out for most people at a cricket game in a day when they added in the test match plus the big bash. There was like 95,000-96,000 people in for that first day. And just think about how much money they're losing out of these test matches going 2 days. Like they lost $3 million plus on that day in Perth the last three days they missed out in Perth because it was a 2-day test. They missed 3 days of play. They lost a lot of money there. They're going to lose more money here. They're going to throw out all the food. Hopefully they donate some of it, but that's going to be a big expense for Cricket Australia and the MCG and all the people that bought tickets for day 3 and day 4. Like it's just upsetting. Like imagine Christmas or during the year, you're like, oh, I got tickets to the 3rd day of the Boxing Day test. What a day to go. That's a good day to go. Normally, that's a great day to go. You're normally seeing that you still get a bit of both action on day 3. Nope. No one gets to see anything because it's not happening because the test is already over. That's what they're going to remember it for, the test that ended before it began. The moral victory for England, they're up 3-1, possibility of going 3-2. They're going to think about what could be. This win basically locks everyone's spots in. If they lost this game, I said sack literally everyone that exists that is related to English cricket. They get the win. Everyone gets to keep their job. It all looks good. Bethley brought Bethel in. He did good. Everyone's a winning. The only thing that they didn't take away from this is Atkinson getting injured. So that was the only really thing that they could say was a negative for them here. Obviously, Bezbol is back, but it's still dumb. It still doesn't work. It works in a way when you put the pressure back onto the opposing team, just like Sammy Consis did in the last Boxing Day test. He took on Bumrah. When your team is down, you got to try to change the way that you play your game so that the field moves, and then you can start playing the way you want. If they're blocking up your shots, then you're going to find ways to score somewhere else. Or if you just want to play expansive, let go a little, then the field gets moved out, and then you can start playing your game. That's what England did in the second innings. They just played explosive and made Steve Smith make some changes to that field, and they ended up getting to that. They ended up putting up that 178 for six on that second innings, chasing all the runs down. Is Bezbol back for real? Like I said, it's not going to be. You can't score 500 runs with Bezbol unless you're playing Bangladesh or somewhere like that. But against the big teams, it's not going to work. Looking to like the World Test Championship standings, England, they're down at the third last spot. It's Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, India, England. Like, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, matches, New Zealand's only played three matches, and India and England have played nine matches each. So the way this is going to shake out over the next 2 years, you would think that England and India would move up a little higher in those rankings. It's just early days, early doors there for that Test Championship. But yes, that's kind of what is on the line, even though it's a dead rubber. They're playing for – the Ashes are kind of already over. They are playing for Test points, World Test Championship points. Australia get their first loss this calendar year after they lose to South Africa in the World Test Championship final. So now they go 7-6. Moving on, past this test, we're going to go to the SCG, the Sydney Cricket Ground. I should expect, if I'm going to put some predictions out there, what they're going to do with the Australian lineup. Cummins has ruled himself out. They won the Ashes. He's not going to injure himself. I think there could be a shakeup. There could be a shakeup with Cam Green. Cam Green could be the shakeup. They could go Josh Inglis. They could go Bo Webster. If I was to do something here, give Cam Green a break, put in Bo Webster, see how it goes. Nothing to lose. The Ashes have already been won. They're going to give Khawaja a send-off. There would be a reality. There could be a reality where they put Usman Khawaja back to open for his final test. That could be a reality. Move Travis Head back down, or they keep Travis Head, go Travis Head, Usman Khawaja, get rid of Weatherald, bring in Josh Inglis to replace the middle order. I could see a reality where Inglis comes in. I see a reality where Webster comes in. They probably would want to bowl a spinner. They went with Neeser, Stark, Richardson, Boland. Probably Richardson gets dropped, you would have to say. Didn't do much. Just came in as that fourth pacer in the lineup. I would say Richardson gets dropped for Todd Murphy. What about me? Todd Murphy deserved a spot. He got brought into the squad and they're not picked. Like, I don't know what that would feel like. Hey, yeah, we're going to bring you into the squad. Oh, we're not going to pick you. And then to have the go down to the Doggett, Richardson, Neeser fight for that two spots. Richardson gets it, but wasn't bowling at full pace, bowled four no balls. I don't know. He's just going to think it's going to be a one test. Unless someone gets injured and they want to pull themselves out, that's probably how it's going to go. But yes, guys, that is your day. That's your Boxing Day test. 2 days of test cricket all wrapped up into one little package right here. We could have had more if they batted longer, but that's it. It's 2 days of cricket. I'd love to see your thoughts down in the comments below. Make sure you subscribe to That's Cricket for That's Cricket Action. Following all the socials, we're putting out a lot of stuff, team. I love being here. And that is your Boxing Day Test recap, brought to you by Runmaker. That's Cricket.